This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We all have a multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all. Making sure, A, you're fully insured, and B, they'll do whatever they can to save you money. With some insurances, you can go over state lines. Sometimes it's bundles. But they handle it all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We have Jody Mack today, right?
Yep, he's with us.
Yep, all right. Here we go. Get the great man on right now. My friend, I need words of wisdom, so I turn to you. Welcome.
Steve Jones, how you been, bud?
Doing great.
Great.
So, look, you have to deal with, in your career, you bring an interesting perspective from both sides, because you saw the management side with your dad, you see the other side working in the media. Analytics has become interesting in every sport. And you watch Nick Sirianni and what he's tried to do with analytics during in coaching decisions. What is your viewpoint of analytics?
I'm okay with analytics. It's one of those topics, Steve, that people, and we have this a lot in America in general and sports in specific, where it's almost like sides have been drawn. That either you have to be an analytics worshiper and a geek and believe numbers can describe and prescribe absolutely everything, or I'm old school, numbers are full, I can see, I understand, my eyes tell me. There's a happy medium in there, and I wish we could reach it. All information is good information, so analytics can always be good. If you're a slave to it and you don't have any feel in decisions you make, then you're not doing justice to the sport. And on the flip side, if you believe you're smarter than anybody else and you're just throwing numbers out, that's foolish too. So it all comes down to a balance for me. If you understand that there is information to be had and a benefit to it, as long as you don't just live, sleep, and eat and breathe by it, I think analytics can be very helpful.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that answer. It's well said, because I'm a believer. Give me as much information as possible, and then in the end, I'll make the decision. Right?
Yep.
And I'm going to make the decision based on time, scores, situation. Right? But please give me all the info, which will help me make decisions. Fair enough?
Yep. We see it exactly the same way.
Yep. Okay, so the Eagles put together, after a fourth-quarter drive by Atlanta that was mystifying, they then put together that defensive performance against New Orleans. What did you see, if anything, that was different in how Vic Fangio played it the other day?
Well, I think the one thing that he absolutely decided he needed to do, and maybe because it was the opponent they were playing, he went back to more five-man fronts.
Yes.
Atlanta didn't use as many New Orleans didn't use as many four wide receiver sets, so he could do that and he could employ that. The Eagles are a much better five front man team, and two linebackers and four in the defensive backfield. They did not tackle well at all when they had only four defensive linemen up front. Their secondary wasn't tackling well in the first two games. Numbers down, five man front, absolutely helped. They got some pressure, still not enough pressure for my money, at least on the edges. The defensive tackles, and there was a group of them. Everyone talks about the two big Georgia guys, and they were both very good on Sunday. But Bill Williams and Booker and the guys that they played inside played really well the other day. Mm-hmm. The pressure from the outside still, for me, is lacking a little bit. But They did tackle well, which was something they had not done the first couple of games. So I give him credit for adjusting, Fangio, that is, for using more bigs up front. But the Saints kind of played into his hand. And with averaging 45 points in the first 2 weeks,
yeah.
I guess they were cocky enough to believe they could play with whatever lineup they wanted.
Okay, now here's the next part. The next part goes with the offense. And I know Brown's been out. I understand that. But if they generate even one more scoring drive, touchdown, the Atlanta thing doesn't happen. This time it took a while. They finally got to 15 points in the game. How are you viewing the offense right now?
Strapped, because when you take A.J. Brown out of the mix, that's a huge loss. Now you add Devontae Smith, and he may very well play on Sunday. We got to see if he gets out of concussion protocol. They also lost Covey, who I don't see as a big loss, but they were using him a lot, and they're throwing him the ball a lot for short gains, but at least he was catching it. You take three wide receivers off that team, all of a sudden, Paris Campbell... I sung the praises of Howie Roseman for the Jahan Dotson acquisition, but let's be honest, he's done diddly in the first three games.
Right.
I don't know who the hell. And Goddard stepped up huge for them. Now, Tampa's pretty good defense, and their head coach is a dynamite defensive coordinator. I don't think he's a good head coach, but he is a very good defensive coordinator. There's no way that Goddard's going to get the kind of game that he had last week, so... I don't know who Jalen's going to throw it to on Sunday if they're not healthy at the wide receiver position. So right now, because of injuries, I'm scared for the Eagles' offense.
What do you think about the marriage between that offensive line and Saquon Barkley?
Pretty good so far. And shoot, they lose two guys right in the middle of the game. I tried to tell Eagle fans, because I'm a Jet guy too, Mekhi Becton, I know he's looking good, but at some point he's going to get hurt. I said first 4 weeks of the season, he got hurt in week number three. That's what always happens with Mekhi Becton. But they pushed Steen in there, and he played phenomenally. Fred Johnson, usually they lose Lane Johnson, and you can chalk up a loss because their record without him has been abysmal since he became the Eagles' starting right tackle. Well, Fred Johnson went in there and got the job done. So the offensive line has been good since day one. They've opened up holes for Barkley. He's got the good combination of both speed and strength. He's not afraid to drop a shoulder and get extra yards. I think that marriage has worked out as well as could be expected for the first three games.
Right. But to me, part of looking what a team can be is I look at the division, and I always felt like the New England Patriots, when Brady and Belichick were together, for the most part, you could count on them being 5-1 within the division, which meant they had to maybe find anywhere from 5 to 7 wins to get themselves a one seed elsewhere. When you look at this division, what do you see the possibilities are for the Eagles based on how the early division has played out?
I picked the Eagles to win the division due in large part to the fact that I didn't like the rest of the division. I think the Cowboys were overrated, and I didn't think they were going to be able to come back at the same level they were at last year. They haven't through the first two games. I know the Giants got a good win last week. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones wasn't terrible, which is a step up for Daniel Jones, but I'm just not a fan of the Giants. And while I was impressed with the Commanders' win, you beat Cincinnati, who, yes, started 0-2, but I thought that was more matchup-based. Now they're 0-3. You got to admit, maybe this team isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I like their young quarterback. I pumped him for the Heisman before he got it last year. He had this unbelievable season at LSU and played himself into second pick in the draft. I think he's got a chance to be good. He had a phenomenal game against Cincinnati the other day, and people are putting him on a pedestal, which I'm not sure that he's earned just yet. Eagles are the best team in this division almost by default.
Yes.
I don't love the rest of the division, and I think it will continue to play that way.
Right. See, I think they can go 5-1 in the division. And to me, that when you have a schedule that puts you at a 5-1 spot, that changes the dynamics of what you need to get where you want to go. And I think they've got that with this division along the way. I mean, I know you've glanced at the Cowboys, maybe even more than glanced. What do you think of that outfit?
Jerry Jones did probably as bad a job as an owner could do this past off season. And I know he got everybody signed. It came right down to the wire. He overpaid for Dak Prescott. I guarantee you next year Dak Prescott's contract is going to look like an albatross. I'm a CD Lamb fan, but does he deserve to be on the same parallel with Justin Jefferson? I don't think so. So not only did he disrupt his entire preparation for his team by not getting those deals done, but he then got them done at overpaid numbers. So I think right now the Cowboys are in a bad spot. If they end up winning this division, first team to win a division back-to-back years for a decade and a half, I will be shocked. I do not think the Cowboys are an 11 or 12 win team.
We've talked about, you know, cover two and what cover two has done to the NFL in scoring. But there's also something that I don't think he's ever talked about, and that's, you know, look, I think the quarterbacks, for the most part, there's a step back. That doesn't help. I think offensive lines are great. That's a step back in terms of attacking this. But the safeties are going to be pretty good to play this. When you look at the safeties in this league, actually, how good are they because of their playing cover two?
Well, they better be good at coverage.
Yeah.
There is, you're right, as much coverage too is being played in the NFL. They're trying to take the deep pass away. They're letting people dump the ball underneath the deep coverage. Then you got to be able to tackle, and every once in a while you got to be able to go up and play man to man on a tight end. You got to get safeties up there that can take away that. And on a third and four, you're going to let them complete it for a 6-yard play. All right, move the chains. You got yourself a first down. So I think the emphasis is turned to safeties being coverage guys as well. They can't just be hitters who jump up into the box and give extra help on the run. You got to be able to cover. You can't just sit them back there and say, on the pass plays, just keep it in front of you. Don't worry about it. I think that the best safeties are the ones that can be versatile and both get up and play the run, but also when in single coverage, be able to cover the good pass-catching tight ends in the league.
Right now, the Phillies are one game in the loss column behind the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. When you look at their positioning going into the playoff, positioning meaning how the rotation is set up and so forth, what kind of spot do you think they're in?
A good spot. I really do. I think that they can very easily be favored to win the National League. Yeah, these last four games, knew they were going to take a pass last night after the celebration of winning the division, and they got their rumps handed to them by the Cubs. Now they got to win these last four games, starting with Sanchez today, and going down to Washington, who they've had their number all year, and all those players have basically put it away for the rest of the season. Go out and win your last four games. I think that's very possible. It'll get them the number one seed. It'll get them the couple days off, not having to play in a wild card. And, yes, if it comes down to a matchup between the Dodgers, I'd rather see 4 out of 7 in Citizens Bank Park than out at Chavez Ravine. And I think that very well could happen.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. The last one's a little bit out of the ballpark a little bit, but we all know the Sixers have been talking about building the arena downtown as opposed to where they are now in the complex. What's been your viewpoint on that possibility?
They're a tenant, and that's why they want to get out, and they have the capability of being able to build their own building, which is certainly within their rights and could be new and exciting. As a Philly guy, I just think it's going to be a nightmare getting in and out of that place. Unless they're, and they got the blessing of the mayor this week, and if she can hold up, if they can get construction done while she's still a mayor, and they can improve the mass transit, then I guess it could be okay. But I think it's going to be a traffic nightmare where they're planning on putting it. It is cool to be in the city, and I get that. And a lot of fans enjoy that greatly because I do the national show, so I get to talk to a lot of fans that go into the city for their team's games. Philly's a little different. That's a tough traffic spot. I've been going on the Vine Street Expressway my entire life. I think it could be a traffic nightmare for Sixer games. So we'll see. They're going to do it, and we're going to have to learn to deal with it. It looks like it's going to get done, but I don't know how easy it is going to be to get the Sixer games if they do move in to Center City.
So on the Vine Street Expressway, you've driven it repeatedly and you've survived. I just want to say congratulations. That is quite an accomplishment.
I'm not sure that AC/DC penned Highway to Hell after getting off the Vine Street Expressway, but I would not be surprised if that were the case.
And on that note, mic drop, Jody Mack. All right. My friend, thank you so much.
Stevie, anytime you need me, brother, just ask.
You're the best. He is the best. Jody McDonald, Jody Mack. In this business, it doesn't get better than that guy. And we will come back with more in a moment. This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street, and Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you and thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show. We got a high school roundtable tomorrow. And Lewisburg is rolling. Sealands Grove's bouncing back, and we'll see what... I mean, the schedule's going to change a little bit, I think, for Shikellamy, which is good. And, of course, Penn State, Illinois. We had Lauren Tate on yesterday.
Bob Flounders tomorrow. Surprise.
Bob, the great Bob Flounders. Wonderful. Always good to talk to Bob. Great guy. You know, I realize when over the years, if a writer has written something that the fan base perceives as negative, he's got to be like, oh, scourge of the earth. It's like, no, they're just writing their opinion. You know, you may have a different opinion than you. It's okay to have different opinions. It's okay. That's why it's called an opinion. Well, I don't get all too wrapped up for the most. Now, if opinions are, for example, flat out wrong, like I'm not going to get into what the topic was, but somebody said something to me today, an opinion, and it just absolutely was wrong. That, in other words, they had totally the wrong information. I said, nah, I apologize, but that's not right. I said you can't say that. It had to do with a player. I said, you can't say that because it's not right. He went, what? I said, because what happens is sometimes people will get information or they make an assumption about something, and then they'll deliver an opinion, and it's just factually not correct. Like, oh, okay. That happens sometimes. Now, right. But if it's just an opinion, like we've got the same set of facts and we come to different conclusions, that's fine. So I'm looking forward to talking to Bob tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun. I like Bob. I like Bob Flounders a lot. So, in fact, there really isn't a writer I don't like. I think Penn State's got a really good group that covers this team. I mean, smart. Now, do you have to agree with everything they write? No. It's not. That happens. It's okay. We were talking about the Phillies, you know, and I agree with Jody. They're positioned well for this. The way that, you know, they're able to set up the rotation, short series, like it a lot. Penn State football, right, setup's interesting. This is interesting. Like, what you're getting is, on the Sluka thing, Now, you can see people are now starting to become a little more aggressive about what they're saying about it. And here's a tweet that was put out by someone named... per source, this guy works for 247. All financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against KU and Houston, those are two big wins, Sluka's family hired an agent. They collectively feel that his market value has increased per source. Okay, now I see that's a different take on what's going on. You see what I mean? There's going to be a lot going on here, a lot of interesting parts, and I don't know what the truth is. Somewhere in here lies the truth, Todd.
Doug Bertzong made the point he didn't follow Mr. Chesney to JMU, though, did he?
No, he did not.
But then again, my joke reply was the money offer was higher.
Oh, you're just cruel. Cruel. My goodness. It's sounding like the suit every day.
Well, the way JMU's playing, I think they're okay.
The way UNLV was playing, he was fine.
Yes, this is true.
I don't know. There's got to be some middle ground here. I don't know what it is.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Whiteout, you know, a fan-led whiteout for Saturday night in Beaver Stadium. So stock up now. Make sure you're fully ready for a full day of tailgating at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. This is your one-stop party shop. When it comes to beverages and snacks, it's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The Sluka situation at UNLV just shows you what a mess college football and college sports is right now. You knew at some point something like this was going to happen, and nobody knows what the story really is. Is it the assistant coach? What did he promise? Who witnessed the promise? There's nothing in writing, right? What about the agent? When did the agent get involved? Was there an agent involved at the beginning? What about the kid? What does he think? Nobody knows. So now you get the one that was put out today by the guy that works for 247. Guy named Carl Reed, all financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins over KU and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent, and they collectively feel that his market value has increased per source. See, Todd, we don't know what's true.
No, and my kind of read on that is if you're Barry Odom, that sounds exactly what Barry Odom would say, right?
Right.
As far as he knows.
Right. So I don't know. It sure is bizarre. And of course, it's not what I have said in the past. And I mean, even as recent as last year, that I'm wondering, you know, we've gone from Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, we're not going to play in the bowl game. Now it's become fashionable. Oh, I know, I got to get ready for the pros. Okay, great. You know, in our bubble wrap society, You know, I mean, when fans are buying into the bubble wrap thing, I sit there and go, "What are you talking about?" Like, hey, look, I only played high school football. There wasn't one time in my life I didn't think about not playing. I hated when I was done. But that's me. It was also a long, long time ago. And, to my credit, wasn't very good. No. That's why I'm doing this job. But I said, we're going to get to a point. Now, this is different because UNLV's 3-0. I said, we're going to get to a point where a team is 4-3 through seven games. And you're going to have players saying, well, you know what? I'm going to get ready for the draft and leave at that point. And I've said that before in the show. People know that. I've said that. I'm concerned that we're going to get to that point. Now, this doesn't quite fall into that category because they're 3-0. I don't know. This is just one of those. This story is bizarre. How about that?
In theory, they have a pretty good shot at the playoff, too.
Well, they would have a shot at it. Right now, they're ranked.
I was going to say they're ranked. They're 3-0.
I mean, we're talking about the five highest-ranked conference champions. They might be the highest. At the end, they could have been it may still be the highest-ranked conference champion and be out of the Mountain West.
On their way to the Pac-10 or Pac-12.
Yeah, and that may well happen, too. That may well happen, too. Like I said, I think they're the linchpin as to the Mountain West being what they are now and adding on, or having to have a complete overhaul of the Mountain West if they go to the Pac-12. But at some point, you are going to have, hey, we're 4-3, you know, we have no shot. I'm going to get ready for the pros.
Doug from Hanover is on the line, Steve.
And welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, this is Bob from Hanover. Bob. I couldn't hear what he said.
Hello, Bob. How are you today?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm pretty good. Well, the whole thing has been, I'm a Penn State grad in 79, been a fan season ticket holder since then. And I get frustrated about this whole stuff because when NIL Collective started and they were supposed to be separate from the college, then I start getting emails and letters from our athletic director and our head coach asking us to donate money. Well, are they affiliated with each other or are they not? If they're not, why are they contacting me to donate money to them? Then I've also sent emails to the NIL collectives, two of them, several, and I ask them, can you give me a little explanation about your organization? How many administrators do you have? What are they getting paid? I said, I'm going to be handing over my money. Nobody ever responds. I've asked the athletic director, I've asked the coach that, and I never get responses. Why are they not responding and making this stuff, you know, noticeable to the fans?
Yeah, okay, so let's start with the not getting response part of it. Right. That I can't speak to it with Penn State, but how often are we now getting in everyday life where press 1-4, press 2-4, and we never talk to anybody? It's like, come on, I want to talk to somebody here. Help me out a little bit. So in general life, you know, I understand that frustration. Now, what they're allowed to do in terms of contacting letters, they're allowed to do that. Under this new settlement, I think they'll have the settlement done with the House. They are going to be allowed, I think, to bring things in internally.
I think that would be best. But
right.
And they should tell people how it's organized, how much money of my money actually goes to the athlete, how much goes to somebody that's running the organization. I never get any information.
Well,
so am I supposed to trust these people?
Right. How much goes to the athlete is the key part of it. And remember, starting next year, which the settlement eventually will go through once the NCAA gets its head out of its backside about this. We may not go with this. What are you, nuts? It's an antitrust case. Hey, yo, whoa, whoa. It's like you want to triple the number? That's why they make no sense. But at that point, the university will, or the athletic department, will be in part doling out the money part of it. Thus, you see what Tennessee's doing. They're very upfront about what they're doing. They're going to put together a 10% surcharge on tickets.
Yeah, I saw that.
To go into that fund. At least at that point, just say there's a 10% surcharge, and they claim that that's where it's going, you should be pretty confident that's where it's going. I mean, that would be wrong to give it to administrators or anything like that. I mean, you have budgets. Well, right now, this budget's...
I don't even know how many administrators they have. And
right.
If any of them get paid, or are they just doing it voluntarily?
You're talking about with the collective? I'm not sure how the people who run the collective, how they get paid, who's in charge of doing that. But I believe donations and what goes into it, whatever you commit to it, goes to whatever it's supposed to go to. I don't think it goes to, like, Happy Valley United administrative fees or anything like that. I think that's how the structure, I think, is supposed to work.
Well, if it doesn't go to them, any of it, how are they paying for their organization? That's not free. I mean, someone's got to pay the bills.
Right, and that's why, they have an organization that connects them with universities and so forth, which then that's how money ends up moving around so that they pay the people that are in charge. I mean, there may be a service charge or something like that that does all that. But the bottom line is, when you're making a donation, there is obviously a percentage, right, that has to go to the org, like just a small percentage. But the vast majority of what you're going into the collective is going to people. I mean, the people that are supposed to get it. I mean, the 20 million Ohio State took in, or whatever it was, to do whatever they claim they did. Something tells me that... good chunk of the $20 million got where it was supposed to go.
I would hope so. Yeah, and the other thing that's confusing to me about NIL is, when it originally started, wasn't it supposed to be that the athletes could barter with local advertisers to say,
yes,
look, I'll promote your product, but can you pay me because I'm playing at Penn State? It
and
seems
that,
like that's sort of gone by the wayside, and now it's direct payments from the the collective.
And I agree with you completely, Bob, about that, because when I was discussing NIL 3 years ago, so let's go back 3 years before all this started, I was talking about the benefits of it, saying, hey, look, if I'm the starting quarterback at Penn State, first of all, we lose every game. All right, but if I'm the starting quarterback at Penn State, I should have the ability to go to, hey, I'm Steve Jones for Sunbury Motors, da 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 da, and get paid for it. That to me is name, image, and likeness. I never counted on collectives. I never did. It never entered in my thought process or anything like that. That's the one area where, as a host, I mean, I didn't do a good job as a host of counting on that part of it, so I could have warned you about it, because I just didn't even think of it, to be honest. And so that part's always been a curveball to me. But it's also, in today's world, if you want to win, it's a fact of life. You got to be involved in it.
Yeah, that's true to a large degree. I just don't know. Like you were talking, I don't know much about this UNLV thing, but I do not understand how the non-prominent players on a team are not going to get PO'd for certain people taking all the money from them, and they're in their basically going for an education. I just don't know how that's going to work out long term. And that, you know, that sort of scares me.
I mean, that's an interesting part, and I wondered about that. But, yeah, as you know, I'm around teams all the time. And it so far, it has not been even an issue.
Well, that's good.
I mean, that's what I find interesting about this. Because when this was coming out, I wondered the same thing you did. What would it do to a locker room? What would it do to a clubhouse? And it really hasn't done much of anything, to be honest with you.
And in the NFL, the clubhouse, I think, is virtually meaningless because if some player gets mad, they're just going to go get another contract somewhere else and try to move on somewhere else. So I don't think they get upset about it, but that's a different ballgame, though.
Yeah, everybody has different personalities, so, you know, you don't know. But, I mean, but they're also under contracts, so I've got a three-year deal. Well,
right.
Say I've got 2 years to go on my deal. I want to renegotiate because, geez, you signed the darn thing. I mean, come on. That part always bothers me. But that's on a professional level. With this, you feel like everything is year to year because you could transfer anytime you want. Now, Sluka's in a spot where, because of the transfer portal, he can transfer, but he can't do it until after the season's over. He can't just transfer and start playing for somebody else now. So that's where he is with that. But that's one thing I found interesting. I mean, look, let's face it. On most teams, is the quarterback probably going to be the person that gets the most?
I would think so.
Right. So there's some common sense there among other players like, hey, look, I completely get it.
As long as they don't throw too many interceptions, that's all.
Well, at that point, you stop getting it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't get it anymore. He throws too many picks. again, I don't care whether it's basketball, football, whatever. That so far has not been internally any kind of issue that I've seen crop up. And I wondered the same thing you did. Would it be an issue? And so far, knock on wood, I have come across nothing like that to this point.
Yeah. And in my particular case, I just want to know where my money's going.
Right.
And we have alumni elected trustees that can't even get information from the Board of Trustees because they're not on the committee that makes those decisions. Well, the Board of Trustees is supposed to make decisions as a group, not by a committee. But so that whole thing's getting, in my opinion, screwed up. And I understand if you can't talk about that because, you know, somebody is someone's boss. If they're not even trusting to listen to alumni elected trustees, I mean, what's going on? It's just all over the place, all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really followed what's going on with that. I've been a little busy taking care of other things.
I understand that. Yeah.
So I haven't really followed it too much. And to be honest with you, it doesn't, you know, and maybe part of it is I've really tried to just take care of what affects what
control.
What I can control, what I can do. So I know people have said things to me, but I don't really know the particulars because, no offense, I haven't pulled anybody aside and said, hey, tell me about this. I'll pull Jack aside and say, hey, let's talk about cover two for a second.
Yeah. And I'm not sure people in your position really are in a position to discuss the internal workings of anything related to the university. I mean, that's not your job.
Yeah, last I checked, it wasn't. My job's to tell you it's third down and four.
Right. Oh, well, I just wanted to vent a little bit see if I could outvent your buddy Matt, so I don't know if I did or not.
Bob, while it's an admirable try on your part, okay, there's a fine line between reckless and aggressive. Matt skirts it every single time he comes on. You, on the other hand,
enjoyable though.
Yeah, he is. you don't skirt it. You're usually pretty logical and right to the point. He skirts the line. He skirts the line in a very entertaining way.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for venting, Bob. I hope that made you feel, I hope everybody feels better.
Oh, a little bit.
Good, good. Hey, you take good care of yourself, all right? Hey,
I
know it's been a couple of years for you. Everything's feeling great, right?
Oh, everything went excellent. It's just I get accused every once in a while of not remembering things, but I think I do that on purpose.
Well, hey, I think about you a lot. How about that? All right?
Thank you very much.
So I'm glad you're doing terrific. Thank you, Bob. All right.
Bye.
We will take a break. Back with more in a moment. Cotrillo makes the cut today from a caller. How about that, Todd?
I'll have to pull that and send it to him.
All right. Skirting the line between reckless and aggressive. Yes, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over 12 grand, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
The UNLV collective, by the way, has weighed in. They said there was no formal offer made to them. So I don't know what's going on here as to whether an assistant coach, hey, we could do this, blah, 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 and they never formalize. I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts to the Sluka story, and nobody can get a handle yet where they can reel in a moving part and get what's going on here.
UNLV themselves echoed what you said the On3 guy said, that he came to them after the games and said he needed more money.
Yikes. That part's not good either.
No.
Like I said, there's a lot of moving parts here. And I don't know which part to stop and talk to.